Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter, Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, fatjacksports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Jordan, how is it going? How was your UFC 312?
Well, it was good if you were on the Dricus du Plessis side.
Yes.
I mean, he performed like he should. Middleweight champion of the world. I think going 25 minutes with Sean Strickland the first time, because Strickland is such a difficult matchup, such a difficult guy to kind of understand what he's going to do in the octagon until you actually get there. And the fact that he went 25 minutes prior with him, the odds indicated that Dricus du Plessis was going to be a bigger favorite, and he showcased that he broke Strickland's nose. Never was really in an issue of losing the fight and kind of coasted to a 5-round unanimous decision victory. So we talked about him, the win, and the over 2.5 on the podcast last week. We talked about the prop of the night that cashed, right, as Dricus du Plessis via decision, because Strickland is such a difficult guy to finish. And I think the biggest storyline is, well, twofold. We're likely going to get the fight we want, Dricus du Plessis versus Khamzat Chimaev. And what is Strickland all about? Because that's the bigger storyline, I feel like, coming out of UFC 312, is Strickland reached his peak? Is he really in this for the right reasons anymore? Does he have to go back to the drawing board? And I think all are true when you ask it. On the opposite side of it, I was all in on Tatiana Suarez, and Weili Zhang reminded us all that she is one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet, and Tatiana Suarez can't just come off the bench and coast to a 5-round win or a submission win, as we recommended here on the podcast.
I thought we were going to get it early, too, because she took her down early in the fight in the first round, and I was like, okay, we might get this. There's a lot of control here. Can you just get something? Can you get something? And then there was just nothing.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the fight was,
And then Weili adjusted.
Yeah.
Tatiana Suarez did not, and then it was a snowball effect in that fight and a dominating performance yet again by Weili. And now we're getting into a situation where she might likely fight in a super fight against Valentina Shevchenko next, which would be pretty interesting to see how that would play out.
Yeah, that would be a great fight. Okay, so that's UFC 312. Let's try to get back on the winning ways here with this UFC fight night. It's not a very good card, but again, we're leading up to a good UFC 313, so the next few cards, couple cards, I guess, in between that and the first week of March, where we get to see Pereira fight again, will be great. So this starts here, UFC fight night. It is at the Apex, and then next week, I believe, they're going to Seattle.
Correct.
So next week, they're going to Seattle, back at the Apex for this one. And we start here with, speaking of grapplers here, we were talking about Suarez there. This is going to be, this first fight here is going to be two guys that do like to grapple. So we've got Rodolfo Vieira here is minus 260, the favorite here, a heavy favorite, against Andre Petroski plus 195. You're going to hear a lot of UFC contender series or Dana White contender series during these previews here. But Vieira comes in on a two-fight winning streak, back-to-back finishes, and consecutive performance of the night bonuses against guys we've talked about before, Cody Brundage and Armin Petrosian. And then Petroski has come back from consecutive losses and won his last fight. So this should be a decent fight to start us off. If you're going off the trend of Vieira, we're probably going to get a finish here. He is a heavy favorite, so maybe we're looking to the method of victory to get some value here early, Jordan.
I think so. I think this is likely going to be a fight, though, that's contested on the feet. That typically happens.
Okay.
When you've got a grappler with the background and the tremendous accolades, most credentialed, maybe Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner we've ever had compete in the octagon, in Rodolfo Vieira versus Andre Petroski, who is, you know, comes from that wrestling American background. So what happens is those get nullified and the fight is contested on the feet. Now, I think we will see this fight go to the ground. I mean, both guys have such a preference to do it. Vieira, I think when he burst onto the scene, he was knife through butter on people, hot knife through butter on people, because of just how great his grappling is. But then cardio and the issues with mixed martial arts and the striking kind of got caught up with him, so he took a little bit of a step back. But now that has evolved, and Vieira is not a full-fledged mixed martial artist yet, but he certainly, I believe, is closer to one than that of Andre Petrosky. Petrosky maybe a little bit more sloppy with his striking as opposed to how technical Vieira is. Petrosky maybe a little bit more power. Both guys, I believe, still have question marks or asterisks on the ability for cardio. But I think let's go to the bread and butter. Man, butter a lot of analogies here for butter. Thinking about food, I think, for some reason. I think this fight's going to go to the ground at some point, and I think Vieira, whether it's top mount position or, although we haven't seen it a lot in the UFC and in the octagon, Vieira off his back also going to be a threat. So I think Vieira is safe as a money line, even at that 250, 260 price that I'm seeing it at on most books. I think I'd like to look at the plus 160 prop for submission win. I think that he can hunt for it and get it on an Andre Petrosky. And is Andre Petrosky in the right mindset? He's from Philly. Do you think he might have been celebrating last weekend?
I mean, maybe, but, maybe just one celebratory beverage and then back to weight cutting
but
and all that good
Eagles
stuff.
He's an Eagles fan.
Maybe
two celebratory beverages?
Maybe two, and maybe he's holding off to see if he wins this fight and then a proper celebration after this fight, right? Like, if you're going through that and you see that the Eagles win and then you've got your proper celebration, right? So I could see that, maybe.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think when you look at this method of victory here for this fight, Vieira by submission plus 160, Vieira by points plus 320, Petrosky by points plus 430, Vieira by knockout plus 600, and Petrosky by knockout plus 600.
Well, I think those two, the ladders, you know, because of the guys that they're striking acumen, like it's not what they're known for. But I do think it's also interesting, too, that this is a short notice fight for Petrosky. Mm-hmm. Petrosky's replacing Jacob Malkoon. Jacob Malkoon is the last guy to hand a loss to Andre Petrosky. And the fortunate thing for Hadolfo Vieira is similar fighter between Jacob Malkoon and Andre Petrosky, a guy that is a heavy grappler, has got some power, but a little bit kind of sloppy with his striking. And I think that also lends my leaning towards Hadolfo Vieira to win the fight at minus 260 and then for him to get the submission lock as well at plus 160.
All right, are we putting him into the parlay?
Yes, we are.
All right, we'll put him into the parlay. Our next fight coming up here is going to be another heavy favorite. We're looking at, there's a lot of heavy favorites on this card as we head into this UFC fight night. So Ismael Bonfim against Nazim Sadikov. Sadikov plus 160, the underdog here. Bonfim minus 210, the favorite. Bonfim has gone 2-1 of his first UFC appearances. He's got a stoppage loss to Benoit Saint-Denis, who we talked about. And then he's got in his debut a second round finish of Terrence McKinney, and then a unanimous decision over Vince Pichel in UFC 301. He's 20-4 overall, but like I said, 2-1 inside the UFC. Sadikov went 2-0-1 in 2023. And then he's got stoppage wins over Evan Elder, McKinney before he fought Borshev and to a draw. So you don't really see draws a lot. At least we haven't seen draws recently a lot. So his last fight was a draw. Can he get a win here against Bonfim?
Well, I think he certainly can. I think that this is a guy that is a credentialed grappler, very good boxing. People that have listened to this podcast before know that I'm a little bit biased towards the fighters that are coming out of that Cyril Longo camp, but I think it's a very good camp. It's obviously home to the current UFC bantamweight champion, Merab Dvalishvili. It's home to top 10 featherweight, Aljamain Sterling. It was the home of the now, well, actually recently unretired Chris Weidman. We have even talked about the Global Fight League. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is. It's like a fantasy MMA league.
Yeah,
that I don't may or may not host events, but they've added a lot of guys. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. So I think Sadikov is like really, really good, can be really, really talented. My concern for him in this fight is the explosiveness that Bonfim is going to bring. And we saw that certainly on display in the fight against Terrence McKinney. I mean, obviously, any Terrence McKinney fight is going to be wild and crazy, but Bonfim was certainly up to it. Then he kind of dove into the deep end. Benoit Saint-Denis, we know how good that dude is. And he egged him on in that fight, and Saint-Denis kind of came out and just ran through him and subbed him. But then, very impressively, Ismael Bonfim kind of settled down a little bit. The explosiveness and the bat out of hell mentality that he kind of, you know, had early on, and just dominated Pichel on his feet, wasn't threatened by Pichel's grappling. Now, Pichel is, I think he's 40 or he's 41. I mean, still got unbelievable cardio and a very good skill set, but Bonfim utilized his youthness. Here's the thing. This fight, I would lean Sadikov because I think he's got the potential to be better. I think he's got the better overall skill set. I just worry about the explosiveness and the athleticism that Sadikov's not going to be able to use, like, skill over athleticism. And I think we see that sometimes where a guy should be better because he's just a better fighter from a skill standpoint. But just athleticism sometimes dominates. We see it a lot in different sports, right? Abdallah, you know, mm-hmm. The guy's just a freak athlete and just better, even though someone, the training and the preparation is better on their end. So be no play for me. If you need me to make a pick, make a sprinkle, I'm going to say Sadikov.
Ooh, okay. All right. A sprinkle on the dog there. This is how the Vegas sees the method of victory. They think this one's going to go over and go to the judges' scorecard. Bonfim by points, plus 140. Sadikov by points, plus 410. Bonfim by knockout, plus 500. Bonfim by sub, plus 600. Sadikov by knockout, plus 600. And Sadikov by sub, plus 950. But you say if there is a play, it's a slight sprinkle on the plus 160 of Sadikov there.
I think so. I think it's definitely worth it. Again, I think, you know, a fighter is always going to, you would assume, continue to get better, continue to evolve. And I think Sadikov is kind of flying a little bit under the radar because of the draw, because, you know, he doesn't also have, like, the look, I feel like, of a mixed martial artist, but he's young. And I think he's evolving into his maturation as a fighter. But I also, maybe, as you mentioned, that over at 2.5, people mm-hmm. think that's going. I think over 2.5 at $1.70, $1.65 is also a fine play if you want to do it.
Okay. Our next fight here is going to be in the middleweight, and two guys that need a win pretty desperately here. Edmund Shahbazyan, minus 360, the favorite here. And then Dylan Budka, plus 260, the underdog. Shahbazyan is 2-5 since he started 4-0 in the octagon, going win-loss, win-loss, win-loss in his last four. And then you've got Budka in his first year in the UFC. He dropped his first two fights, and he also missed weight. So he's rightfully the underdog here at minus 260. But again, another big favorite here in Shahbazyan is minus 360.
Yeah, I mean, look, the tape is out at Edmund Shahbazyan. Like, this guy is an unbelievable. He's kind of like, maybe not B version, C version of Khamzat Chimaev, from the standpoint is an unbelievable one round fighter. Like, this guy comes out of the gates hot. He's got power. He's got striking, he's got versatility, and he usually gets people out of there. And we saw that on display when he ran through Brad Tavares and Jack Marshman and Charles Byrd, you know, early on, you know, in his mixed martial arts career. But then he went into the deep waters, and Derek Brunson, Jack Hermanson, Nassadine Imavov, like, humbled him, like, to no end. Like, understood that they survived that first round. Work in grappling. This guy struggles with takedown defense and struggles to get up and off of his back. And if you could survive that first round, you're in for a good night. Dylan Bobka, you know, Bobka. More food for me.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What's going
hungry.
On? I'm not even hungry.
Hungry.
I'm not, though. I'm still feasting off of leftovers from the Super Bowl.
No,
like, I'm
go.
Not hungry at all.
All right.
Okay. So, like, Bobka, like, has the skill set to do it. He's tough. He's got grappling in his background. I just don't think that this is going to happen. I think we're going to see a vintage version of Edmund Shahbazyan. I think this is a layup type fight. The odds would certainly indicate that at minus 350. It's a little bit risky to say we because of a guy that has such an Achilles heel, multiple Achilles heels, that you put him into a parlay, but I'm confident that we can do it. But to get really special, my friend, to get really special, I'm looking for it right now. I'm thinking like Shahbazyan in round one, and that's plus 230 in one book, plus 175 in another. So why don't we throw that prop out that he's going to win this fight, win it early.
All right, Shahbazyan in round one, that's plus 230 I'm seeing right now. So plus 230 for that, love that. That's even better than Method of Victory because by knockout is plus 135. If we go, if you want to get frisky and go knockout in round one, plus 370.
He's more of a striker than he is a submission savant. So I don't hate that, but there could be a club and sub type deal here.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's getting greedy.
I think you safe it. And then look, Shahbazyan inside the distance is a $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you lose a little bit on that round, I just think that we're getting a vintage Shahbazyan performance and a finish.
All right,
and
early.
That's what we're going to expect here in this
in round one. I'm throwing him into the parlay too. So he's in the parlay along with Adolfo Vieira here. Okay, so that's our second to last fight here, Calvin Kattar against Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf Zalal is minus 430, the heaviest favorite in this main card here for this UFC fight night against Calvin Kattar, who is plus 300 on the money line. Kattar comes back for the first time since UFC 300. He is on a three-fight losing streak. And then you've got Zalal, who's coming in. He returned to the UFC on short notice last March and then finished the year with three consecutive stoppage wins. So obviously Zalal is rightly the minus 430 favorite here. We're going to have to get interesting with maybe some Method of Victories here, or maybe another round one finish, or maybe not, because I'm looking at Method of Victory here and it says Zalal by points at minus 130 is the favorite for Method of Victory.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting a finish. I don't understand these odds. I don't. I just.
It seems weird that someone that's heavy of a favorite by points wouldn't be, because that can go either way, you know?
Look, I mean, this guy flamed out of the UFC. That happens. You know, look, two of his four fights, he was 0-3-1 in his first UFC stint. And he lost to Ilia Topuria. We know how good that dude is. It was a three round fight, and it was a fight. I think it was Topuria's UFC debut. Then he lost to Chu Sung Woo. We don't talk about that guy. And then Sean Woodson, who's obviously a frequent fighter, difficult matchup. That was a split decision loss. He went off. He fought locally, earned his way back, and he's got three submissions now. But they're against Billy Q, Jarno Ahrens, and Jack Shore. Now, you get thrown into, I still consider him to be in the deep end of the weight class. And unfortunately, this is a guy that ran into a situation where he went five rounds with Max Holloway, and Max Holloway took his soul. Absolutely took his soul. And then since that point, the loss to Josh Emmett, a split decision, a five-rounder. He then had a horrific injury against Arnold Allen. He comes back and he loses a three-round decision where the grappling really struggled for him against Aljamain Sterling in a three-round loss. I am just not yet ready to write off Calvin Kattar. He's 36. He's got very good boxing. He's been in five-round fights. He's only been submitted one time in his mixed martial arts career, and I had to go back and look to see when it was, and that was at Elite XC Prime Time in 2008. Okay? So, I just... Look, Zelaya's got to prove it to me. Like, you got to show me that, like, that Calvin Kattar is not the same guy that he once was. By the way, maybe the best fight camp, the New England Cartel.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool, right? It's a good one.
It's a great name.
Yeah, it is. I like it. Dan Ige also there, I believe. So I can't recommend Zulai. I'm not going to be surprised when he probably runs through Calvin Kattar because people are really, really high on Yusuf Zulai, but I'm not yet. I'm not ready to put him there yet. So it's going to be Calvin Kattar or no play for
Ooh.
Me. Just and not like a recommendation, just because like I can't.
We can sprinkle. Say,
like you just said, it's Zulai's at -450, and then the best one is what? -160 from the win be a decision?
-130 by points. And then by sub is +380. And then Yusuf by knockout is 13-1. Neither of these guys are getting knocked out, I don't think. I mean, Kattar by knockout is +650. So maybe. But Yusuf by knockout is 13-1. And Kattar by sub is 29-1. So those
I think you also have to take into account like the Kattar fight that we just saw him. At UFC 300 was the first fight back after the injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the mobility and the movement's still going to be effective because of the knee injury, but that was the first fight back. So now he's, you know, spent another almost year or, you know, 8 months in the gym, moving laterally, getting ready. And I just need to see it from Yusuf Zulai before I put him and say he's a legit contender in the featherweight division.
All right, our final fight, our main event, Jared Cannonier. This is going to be his sixth consecutive main event assignment. He has lost two in a row. He is the underdog in this fight, +180 against RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez, -235. His first main event on a 3-fight winning streak. Stoppage wins over Dennis Tulyulin, did I say that right? And Brad Tavares with a unanimous decision win over Christian Leroy Duncan at UFC 304 back in July. And he is -235 to close out this UFC fight night.
This should be a passing of the torch. Jared Cannonier is going to be 41 next month.
Oof.
He's coming off of those two losses against Nassourdine Imabov, who look, we know how good that dude is now. He just beat Israel Adesanya. Kyle Barajo, like, probably a fight away, maybe fight and a half. You know, half, but, like, you know what I mean? From being, like, fighting for the championship. He fights out of those. The Fight Nerds, love that. That's another great camp, too. Fight Nerds,
yeah,
New England Cartel.
One.
So, Rodriguez, like, built like a brick shithouse. Looks like RoboCop. That's his nickname. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, but just unbelievable power. And I think we're going to get a 5-round fight that's going to be contested on the feet. It's going to be basically a kickboxing match. And I think at some point, Gregor Rodriguez is going to land something that changes the direction of the fight. And he's going to get his hand raised. So I think we haven't heard the prop of the night yet, but not Rodriguez via knockout at +163 is going to be my prop of the night, because I think he's landed something pretty hard on Cannonier, and Cannonier's going out.
Okay, so Rodriguez via knockout is +155. So we'll write that down for your prop of the night. I'm going to throw him into the parlay as well. So we've got three fights in there now. Rodriguez by knockout +155. Cannonier by knockout +360. Rodriguez by points +470. By sub is +490. Cannonier by points is +650. And you've taken Rodriguez by knockout at +155.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. My prop of the night, I was going to go early in this fight card. The first fight we talked about, Vieira by sub at +160.
Okay.
I think that's going to be my prop of the night.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else, like way off the board.
I was either that was going to be a prop of the night or... I'll throw out that one, and then I'll throw out Shabazzian by knockout too. By knockout at +135.
Okay. I could be on board with that.
And I'll see what it looks like if you parlay those in a second. Right now, our parlay is Vieira, Shabazzian, and Rodriguez. That pays out +152.
So add in Jose Delgado
mm-hmm.
against Connor Matthews. I think he's a big-time prospect. We're going to see his skill set on display. How's that give us?
+228.
That's like, good.
Plus 230. Yeah, Delgado, Rodriguez, Shabazzian, and Vieira, that pays plus 230 on the money line there for that that parlay. And then let's see. If I get Vieira by submission in there, and then if I go to, what was I going to go with? Shabazzian by knockout. My prop of the night parlay pays 5-1.
Okay.
And your prop of the night, let's see, let's add in Rodriguez by knockout here. Let's just have some fun this one. 14.5-1. Ooh. I love that.
Vieira, so what, by, is that, what is that one again?
Vieira by submission, Shabazzian by knockout, Rodriguez by knockout. 14.5-1.
Okay.
I love that. I love that. Sprinkle $10 on that, win $145.
Yes, sir.
Why not? Why not? All right, our other picks, the over in the Sadikov fight at minus 170. Shabazzian in round one. Either way, submission, knockout, whatever, in round one, plus 230. And then a sprinkle on Calvin Kattar, plus 300. Not a real recommendation, but why not if you want to have something action on that. And then Rodriguez by knockout is your prop of the night, plus 155. Looking ahead here for these...
News dog, come on, give it
really?
To me.
Really? Already?
Well, we got to talk when I texted you
hold
yesterday.
On, hold on. Okay.
Have you been praying?
For what? That I got a little prayer circle? Oh, I know what you're talking about. A little prayer circle for this fake fight that might happen?
Yeah.
Covington and get against Carlos Prates?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a good fight in Miami.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anytime I get to see Covington get his ass kicked. That's great. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, Prates is 5-0 in the UFC.
Yeah.
Including Dana White, all via knockout.
Yeah. Do it. Let's do it. I love that fight.
In Miami? Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Dummy. Let him get knocked out. Same with so glad Strickland lost.
Me too. Me too. I don't like that dude.
No. Nobody likes him. Some people like him. Not me. Not you. Not the Unnamed MMA podcast. We do not endorse Sean Strickland or Kobe Covington. How about that?
None of those guys.
That's the stamp of approval. All right, next week we have another UFC fight night to look forward to. Cejudo against Song Yadong. That should be a good fight. A very top-heavy card.
This is decent.
Brandon Allen's on this.
Yeah, a good fight card.
Brandon Allen's on this. Curtis Blades is good. Edson Barboza. Yeah, this
Miguel,
is
Michael Chiesa. Andre yeah, Healy, Rob
Kudalaba.
Scott,
this
Simone,
is a good fight. Yeah,
Kudalaba.
Ketlin Vieira. Yeah, this is a good fight.
Edson Barboza.
This is a good fight. All right, yeah. I'll give you that. This one's a good fight card. Yeah. This one's good. The one before UFC 313, not so great.
Well,
that's fine.
Back at the Apex.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody Brundage and Julian Marquez is the co-main event. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
That's all right. The next that's one's a good, good one. We'll be back next week. That's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Get all of Jordan's picks at FatJackSports.com. Sign up today. NBA, college basketball, baseball coming up, and of course Jordan's picks as well. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.